Blog Talk Radio.
What is poppin', people? It's Thursday. We got Not Radio, Shimmy and C-Major, you know how it goes down. Today, another special guest, got the comedian Samson on, got my co-host Copia Jackson, and guess what? I have some exciting news for you. Something really big is happening. Hip hop our way. We got Not Radio, Shimmy and C-Major. We'll be back.
I thought I told you. I'm a mogul.
Heads up, here we come, y'all live in effect. Mic check, keep your ears moving right to the deck. This is true hip hop, old school flip flop. With a new school twist, just admit it's hot. To the clock, tick tock, and you don't stop. Down in the street, taking over the whole block. Lock to the boys, we need to make more room. Move, get out the way, cause we about to kick in the door. With sports, new music, movies, awards too. You never see nothing like this, I assure you. Sorting through, separating facts from fiction. Who's who? What was it that I did? We're going backstage and you ain't getting text admission. Better switch gears, this here's a fast addiction. Listen, process is turn to progress. We got that, we don't care who got that.
Once again, what's poppin', people? It's your man, C Major. It is Thursday, October 9th. It's 7 p.m. We got Not Radio. We're going to have a good time tonight, as always. As always, I got my co-host, Ms. Copia Jackson. What's good, Ms. Jackson?
Yes, what's going on, businessman? C Major.
I do this.
Yeah, like you said, today, you know, today is Thursday. We're going to have a half hour, though, of still interesting and entertaining conversation with our ever-so-funny and rising star of the comedy world, Samson.
Yes,
this guy's really funny. I like him.
Yes,
I definitely
sir.
Like him.
Yes, so we're going to have a good time. We got serious with him yesterday. We got a little serious, so we're going to mellow it out, and we're going to have just a good, entertaining show today.
Oh, yeah, definitely, definitely. Now, this young man actually is hailing from the D.C. area, so
yeah,
and
yeah.
He says that laughter has always been the number one expression associated with himself. Is that true, Samson? Really?
Wait, hold on. We're going to get him on in 1 second. Hold on. Before we get into Samson, I wanted to say a couple things. And I'm going to preach this every show, so if y'all get sick of hearing it, too bad. Register to vote if you haven't, especially here in the D.M.V. area. Maryland has until the 14th. I know Virginia and D.C. expired on the 6th, but Maryland, you have to 14th. Log on hiphoparway.com, right-hand side. We teamed up with Rock the Vote in order to get that done. Or you can go directly to the radio page. We got now, hiphoparway.com. If you have any questions for Samson, 646-200-4965. There's one other thing. Oh, I have some big news, some like really exciting news. For some of our hosts, but guess what? We're going to do the interview first, and I'll tell you guys later. So, with that being said, Samson, can you hear me?
Yeah, you hear me? I'm on my cell phone. I hope my service is not acting up.
Oh, we can hear you nice
and
clear, Samson.
Okay, good. You know about Southeast, right?
Oh, yes, sir.
Okay, I'm making sure, because I'm standing up on my bed right now, so this is going to have to work out for the next 29 minutes. So hopefully this will work out.
Well, that's something that I'll definitely learn more about, Southeast, because, you know, I'm a little bit out of the loop since I'm not from D.C., but I'll just go with the flow.
Okay, so make sure nobody tricked you into going to Southeast by yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
No reason at all. You hear me?
Okay.
No reason
exactly.
At all. You hear me? Not for no bread,
okay.
Not for no butter, no weed, no nothing, okay?
Well, how about
good
this? When I
over
D.C.,
there.
I'll hang with you.
I don't go outside. I go outside, I run, get on the bus, and leave. No standing around for me.
But like I was saying, though, before, Samson, I mean, you said that laughter is an expression that's always been associated with yourself. And, I mean, for real, is that true?
Yes. And it's because in order to deal with a lot of things that I've gone mm-hmm. through, and especially being black or, you know, being a minority, or being oppressed throughout, you know, a majority of your life. And I'm only 22. So, I mean, growing up poor and, you know, living with mice in the house and crackheads, even though they're funny, nobody wants to live with crackheads, you know. You have to be able to, huh?
No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah.
Continue
you have
on.
To be able, you have to be able to, you know, laugh at things, you know. And mm-hmm. It's a God-given gift. And, you know, it's nothing like, some people, like, one thing that gets me is I run into somebody I know, like at the grocery store or the car wash or on the bus or something like that. And this is the bad thing about it. They will be, like, with their friends, and they'll be like, oh, this Samson, he's funny, he's a comedian, this and this and this, be funny. And I'm like, are you serious? No, not on the AA, no.
So that's a bad thing. So interesting you say that, though, because, I mean, you know, I'm always interested as far as how people are drawn to comedy and how people want to just become a comedian. And like you said, you were kind of drawn to it through your experiences. You ended up laughing about it and laughing about life. So, I mean, were you always exposed to comedy? And were you the cause of laughter, or were you referred to as funny when you were young?
Yes. I was a class clown growing up. Like, I was a big clown.
Okay.
I've always been a clown. And so it's like my teachers always said I was depriving people of their education. And so she made me seem like, really, she was out to get me. Between me and y'all, she was out to get me. But it's just like she ended up having to use me as a tool to help her control her classroom because
really?
I would just sit. Yes, she did. I lie to you not. I would sit in the back of the class, and I would just write. At first, I would write little stories. I was in my own little world because they thought I was crazy. They put me in special ed. I'm sure they had me in there with a helmet on. I'm sure I wore the helmet and sat, you know, in a little cubbyhole. I'm serious. they did that to me. And eventually, I went to this one doctor. I can't think of her name. What's her name? Ruth Davis, I think that was her name. That's back when Kaiser Permanente was a thing for black people. And everybody had them a Kaiser Permanente account. And
right.
You remember Kaiser Permanente? Yeah, we had Kaiser. And so I was going up seeing this psychiatrist, you know, 2-3 times a week, and they had me on Ritalin. And she finally, like, talked to me and sat down, and she just sat there and kiki'd at everything I was talking about. And finally she said, nothing's wrong with him. She was like, he just has a lot of energy. So all that time, I love my mother, but she had me on that medicine. I'm telling you, when they prescribed me that medicine, half the time I was asleep. I'm serious. I was supposed to take one, she would give me like 3. I'm serious. She would throw them things, take a slingshot damn near, and shoot them things right down the back of my throat.
I am serious. And that's funny that you say that because, I mean, like you were saying before, obviously you're still very young. I mean, you're in your early 20s.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I can tell by the topics that you talk about as far as with, you know, it's about school in general, college life, urban life. And then one of your skits that I was just cracking up after hearing it was the Crackhead Anthem.
Oh, no.
Now, what kind of motivated you to put that together? And then on top of that, you put it on Mystical Beat, Shake It Fast.
Oh, Lord. how old was I? I was about, this makes me feel old now. I was about 18 when I recorded that song.
Oh, okay.
And so that was about, 4 or 5 years ago? So I'm working on a new album now, and this one's going to be tackling more adult topics. Like, I got this one track on there called Wash Your Ass, because that is a major problem for a lot of grown people. Like, hard to believe, but you run into a lot of grown people who do not know how to exercise proper hygiene.
Yeah.
You know? So, and this one is the Fat Joe's beat. So it's like, you stink. You stink. You stink. You need to wash your ass. And I love that song. So that one's going to be on my next CD.
Well, I'm definitely going to keep a lookout for that. I mean, I know this is a little soon, but, I mean, when is that going to come out?
You know, I've been working on that CD for the last 2 years.
Okay.
Hopefully one day it'll come out, like, because I recorded 5 tracks for it. And then, like, I just, I'm working on the stand-up album, too, so.
Mm-hmm.
And I put some of those tracks on my MySpace page.
But
back to the Crackhead Anthem. This crackhead pissed me off. That's why I recorded that song. I was on the bus. And he was selling these little Dinkercell batteries or something like that. And I just knew I was in for it. I was like, oh, you mean 18 batteries for 3? You think I'm going to buy them? And not one of them batteries worked. And that pissed me off. And from that day, even though it was so petty, I looked at every crackhead differently. That, and we had this one, we had this one crackhead that used to come up and pick up this boy that used to go to our school, and she was just a really lovable crackhead. Like, we knew she was on crack, but, like, the teachers, they tried to cover it up and say she was on medicine, and that girl was on crack.
I guess each crackhead has different personality traits.
Each crackhead has their own unique traits, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, in a way, it was, because I changed the lyrics a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
At first, it was more like bashing them. And, like, I was like, we can't bash the crackheads. Crackheads make life better, you know? Like, when it's snowing outside, they'll show up to your door with batteries and irons and crab legs and anything you want. So I was like, we can't bash the crackheads. We got to encourage them. And I ended up just kind of encouraging them to keep stealing VCRs and stuff like that, even though that's not good. I was just like, no, steal it from me. And for some reason, that song really, like, it was just a little simple song, and everybody thought I was high when I wrote it. But, like, I was really sober when I wrote that song.
Let me ask you a question. We talked about how you said you make, your music is about making a statement. What's the most important statement you think you make through your comedy?
Wow. Because, like, I'm not your, then this is some of my philosophy right here. I'm not your average African-American stand-up comedian. Because when I hit the stage, because I perform for white crowds, black crowds, Indian crowds, white, Chinese, old people, any crowd that would let me on stage, I get it because there's something that they can take away from my comedy. And sometimes when I get up on stage, you can tell by the way everybody sits up in their seat, oh, yeah, he's going to get up there and say some MFs and some GDs and talk about crack and ass and all this type of stuff. And when I get up there and talk about politics, you know, or racism or homophobia or religion or something like that, everybody's like, whoa, wow, and they sit up even further. And a lot of times by the time I get off stage, the white people, their mouths be on the floor, and that makes me feel real good. And I mean, like, I'm not, you know, racist or prejudiced or anything like that, but at the same time, you know, when you're the only black person in a room and there's about 300 white people in there, they expect you to cut up. When they announce that he lives in Southeast and we had to fly him in, because they make them type of jokes, they'd be like, we had to fly him to Virginia from Southeast because, you know, he cut the bridge off so he can't get over here. And, like, I get up there and say something back like, no, 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 we cut the bridge off to keep from robbing y'all or something like that. That's as far as I'll go.
And I think that's really good that you brought that up because, I mean, in today's culture, I mean, America has really put black comedians in a box.
They really
don't think that they can broaden their topics as far as what they, you know, talk about when on stage. So, I mean, what are you doing to kind of break out of that box then? You know, like you said, you were talking about more, I guess, controversial issues with homophobia, politics, and things of that nature.
Yeah, I talk about things because, especially in the black community, and not just in the black community, but the way that people respond to us, they respond to us based upon how we treat each other. So, you know, like, and I was listening to Dick Gregory, who I really admire. I had to do my little footnotes for this statement I'm about to make. But I really took a lot from him because I talked to him one day at a coffee shop. And we were just talking, and, you know, he was like, when people, especially in other countries, listen to, like, and I'm not going to call their names, I mean, these rappers, because I'm not trying to get shot, but some of these rappers, you know, they will get on, you know, go in the studio and record, you know, a crazy song degrading women, talking about somehow they're not good for nothing but being hoes and tricks and this and this. And a woman can honestly be working, you know, to better herself and to live, you know, a really decent life, you know, be a decent individual working on a degree or something like that. And then they go to another country where they don't, you know, run into too many black people. Of course, they're going to think, oh, this is a hoe. You know, because our men have gotten on radio and on CDs and not only, you know, said this, but also taught this to, like, our youngsters, you know, because a lot of young kids, that's all they know. When you get on the bus, that's all they be talking about. I'm a G. I don't listen to no rap, so this stuff's not going to sound too good that I'm coming up with. But, you know, I mean, back in the day when I was coming up, back in the, you know, 80s, early 90s, my mother taught me to you know, be a man. That's what she taught me to be. Not be no soldier.
Yeah.
You be a soldier, but you don't. That don't mean, you know, shooting at somebody's grandmother because they owe you $5 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Some of these lyrics are crazy. So I try to really make sense out of all that stuff. And even if I'm not doing that, my comedy is not, I wouldn't call it vulgar. Like, I talk about everyday life issues. I might talk about STDs. I might talk about, everybody talks about white people. I might talk about jobs, the economy. I talk about something, but whatever it is, I'm not getting up there making people leave and say, you know, he was funny, but black people are ignorant, aren't they? Because I've been to some shows, and I've been called a nigger before at a show.
Okay.
Because, like, originally I'm from North Carolina, so I think a couple of years ago, what's his name? Ames? What's his Don Ames?
Don Imus.
Oh, Don Imus, yeah.
Yeah, he looked like a slave master, don't he? He got on the radio, and he called them girls up there some nappy-headed hoes.
Yeah.
And you remember that?
Yeah, that was crazy.
It
and
was
he lost
absolutely,
the drop
it was absolutely nuts. And I thought that it was very inappropriate for them to have Al Sharpton to represent them because he has a perm. They should have stuck to Jesse Jackson or something like that. You know, and it was just, when it came down to it, I was just like, what is the point? I was like, I mean, what is the point of all this? We know that this is how people talk, so why can't we just, you know, go ahead on? I'm from the South. I've heard worse. I was like, I must get creative, seriously.
So then since you said that, of course, you're trying to break out of that kind of that box that the world has put black comedians in. And even though there is a lot of topics to talk about, I mean, do you find it hard sometimes when you're trying to create new and fresh material?
Yes. Especially because I don't get on stage as much as I used to. I used to get on stage mostly every night. And now I do like a lot of activism work. And I do still perform. I perform at least twice a week. But most of the time when I do get on stage to do a show, I'm, you know, well put together. But my style is, in order to come up with new material, I have to get on stage and kind of get a feel for things. Because I'm not going to lie, I have too much pride to get up and fumble around on stage in front of an audience and be like, is this funny? Is this? So my friends are real honest. Like, at first I used to call them and I'd be like, guess what happened to me today? And they'll listen. They'd be like, are you using material on us? And so they figured out I would be doing that. My best friend, he was like, I'm not going to be your white mouse. And so he stopped listening to me. And then he came and saw me at this one show. And he was like, that was really, really good. But that one show that you told about them old people, you could have done without it even though they laughed. I felt like you were selling out. So
okay.
Now I can call them and we'll talk about material. My friends are real honest. If it's not funny, they say, if you do it, I boo. And they will. If I get on stage and do it, they boo. And so I'm glad I have really honest friends, but I hope they don't boo me at my shows.
That helps you work on your craft anyways, and I mean on your approach, your style. So I mean, I think your style is definitely unique. And in the comedy world, I mean, sometimes you don't want to compare comedians because, you know, you don't want to lose your individuality or your originality, because I know you guys got that stealing jokes thing going on. So I mean,
I mean, I knew people stole jokes, but I didn't know comedians beef like rappers beef, and I was surprised about that. And it's not like you can, like, go past somebody's house and shoot at them. So, I mean, it's just like, why comedians? It's just comedy. But comedians do their beef over money. They beef over material. They beef out of a lot of crazy things. And I was like, so what are you going to do as a comedian to get at somebody? I was like, the only thing we can do is, like, drive past somebody's house and tell her your mama joke and drive off or something like that. You know, we can't, like, shoot at nobody. So it's like a rivalry, you know, between a lot of comedians that you see on the circuits. It's not as violent as rap, but that competition and that treachery is definitely there.
Yeah. And, I mean, obviously you're grinding like no other so that, you know, you don't have to do that or have that, you know, problem. So, but how do you maintain
your... Well, I've had it happen before.
Oh, you have?
Oh, yeah. and I hate saying this, but it's the truth, and I'm, you know, I hate, this is so, it's not, I don't know, it's not kind of, I'm just saying, I'm going to shut up. This one club that I performed at, the DC Improv, and I hate to say this, and I know this is going to get me even more trouble, but people who know it's real, they need to back me up. They are so racist down there, it's ridiculous. And I actually got blacklisted from down there, like myself and like a lot of other comedians, because it's basically like this one guy who's a friend of mine got up there. He did a bunch of jokes about robbing people and getting robbed and this and this, and they love that. But I notice anybody, especially if you're black, who gets up there and tries to make sense out of things, and you come off as intelligent, they don't take too kindly to that. Like, the audience is great, but it's like the judges down there and the owners, they're out of control.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, I've experienced, like, really the road is a lot harder than a lot of people think. A lot of people think it's about getting up there being funny, and it's, like, more than that. Because you got to be funny, you got to manage yourself, you got to make sure that nobody play with your money. You got to watch your back, because a lot of comedians, they think that it's funny to just get up and pick on the fat lady in the show. But you don't know if that lady bought eight of her fat kids with her, and they jump you when you get outside.
Oh,
so you know.
Yeah, some people do take it to heart. So, and I know that, of course, you might have had that when you opened for little JJ of BT's Come to the Stage at the Soul Factory, and that was for a crowd of 5,000 people. I mean, how did you feel when doing that? Because, I mean, that's a big crowd.
Well, that theater holds, the main theater holds about 2,000. Everybody else was like outside and then other holding areas and overflows watching. So I was actually in front of about 2,000. But overall, there were about 5,000 watching the whole show there, but they just weren't in front of me. And I was scared because I had quit comedy because I started when I was, I've been doing it all my life, but I started on stage trying to get people to laugh with me and not at me for making a fool out of myself for about 5 or 6 years now. So I started when I was about 17. And the club that I started at was like, it was a really ghetto club. Like, because at first I was a really ghetto comedian. I would get up there and scream and leave stage hoarse. And it was a really crazy experience. It taught me a lot. It was a very, and even to today, even if I do get up there and, you know, talk like I got some sense, if somebody, you know, tries to heckle me, they're going to get dealt with, because the club that I started out with, they taught us, you know, how not to be a punk-ass comedian, which is why, you know, I get some knocks, but I keep on going with it. But they used to throw stuff at you. You tell a joke that sounded like it was going to be bad, they would throw a candle or a chicken wing or chicken tenders or something at you.
Wow.
They would.
Okay.
And, like, my mother, at first, she didn't want me doing comedy because she thought I was in there drinking and stuff and I was underage. And they knew I was underage, but they still let me come in, and I was the youngest one in there. So at first she would be smelling my breath and stuff at night, and she found out I wasn't drinking, and she finally saw me one night. She was like, so you really, really, really want to do this, and you're good at it, so keep doing it. So what she would do is, when I would get home, she would check the bottom of my shoes and see how good I'd done. So if I had like a bunch of candle wax and fingers under my feet, she would know I had a bad night. But if I had clean shoes, she'd be like, oh, so you were funny tonight. But if not, she knew I bombed. And most of the time, I went home with clean shoes because I didn't want no chicken wings thrown at me.
Let me ask you a question, because obviously, you know what the climate is right now. We're about 27 days from the election, and I understand you like to talk about politics. So before we let you out of here, I got to know, what's your take on what's going on right now in politics?
It's a lot more going on than we really are willing to admit. And the more that people do question what's going on in America and in politics is coming to the light. And, you know, like, you can tell that, and I hate to sound like this again, but you can tell white people getting scared because they move into our neighborhoods. Like, they already know, you know, once certain things start happening, you know, the economy benefiting rich people is over with, you know.
Yeah.
Right.
Because I listened to Obama's, you know, some of his tax plans and things like that, and they really are beneficial to more middle class and, you know, poor voters than a lot of rich people. And what rich people do is they take situations and scenarios and tax situations, and they use them to benefit themselves while continuously enslaving the poor. So, you know, a lot of rich people are scared, you know. And I'm happy. I'm like, bring it on, because I'm ready to get me a credit card. And you know what? I'm not even going to use the credit card. I'm going to just, I just want one to have. Like, I get tired of being denied. Like, I'm going to just take it, and I'm gonna send in a letter to college and get accepted just so I can have it. I'm not even going to go to college.
Yeah, that's going to mark a new chapter in your life. Like, I have a credit card.
Yeah, that's
I'm not
going to
use it, but I do have
me.
It. But.
And maybe we'll finally see some black people working in carryouts. Ain't no Chinese people supposed to be making no chicken wings.
Oh, man, for those
now
of you who don't understand what carryout is, that's bigger here in D.C. So if you don't know what that is, there's a lot of people listening to the area, so y'all know exactly of what he's talking about. One thing, too, I wanted to comment on, Velocity Magazine Awards, we've been plugging this thing like crazy. You're nominated for Best Comedian, correct?
What'd you say? I just heard you go, woo, 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 woo.
For the Velocity Magazine Awards?
Oh, yeah.
You're nominated for Best Comedian, correct?
Yes, I am.
Tell us about that. How do you feel about that, I should say?
I'm so scared. Because I'm not used to being, like, I've been in some comedy contests and things like that before, but it's kind of scary to me because I'm not used to being nominated for an award. I'm used to just kind of getting it.
Right.
So when I got this list, I was scared to look at it, so I called one of my friends, and I gave him the passcode to my email address. I was like, read off the nominees for this category for me. And he was just like, Mike Vaughn, Mike Brooks. And I was flinching with every name he said. And he was like, Mike Vaughn, Mike Brooks, Mike G, Big Mike, and somebody else. And then I was just flinching, because these are some really good comedians that got nominated for this award.
Right.
And he was like, and you? I was like, who, me? He was like, yeah, you. I was like, I got nominated. He was like, yeah. I was like, oh, for real? And so I was real happy. I went and ordered some chicken wings from the carryout. We just had a little celebration. And I'm actually kind of scared because it's just like, you like, am I going to win or am I not going to win? So it's just like I'm really, really tensed up about it. Because it's like when you're sitting there in the seat and they call in names, you're like, oh, my God. And this is like, maybe like, and the winner is, you have like a really heart-stopping moment right there. So
right.
It's just like, I'm like, get this over with already. Like, I don't even care. I want to know who's going to win. I'm just really scared. But it's really a privilege to me. It lets me know I'm doing something right.
Right, definitely. Definitely. Okay, well, let's do this. Because everyone can't win, unfortunately, we have something what we call 60 seconds of fame. So if you do win and you're able to get up on that stage, give us your acceptance speech right now.
Oh, goodness. Wow.
This would be good.
Well, I love y'all, too. I don't know. I'd be like, wow, hot mom. My, oh, yeah. She sent me a message that said she wasn't coming. Thank you, Mom, for supporting me. Thank you, God, for giving me this sense of humor. Thank you, everybody. Just thank you, thank you, thank you. Little droplets of pee running down my leg right now because I'm so excited. Thank you. And I don't know. Thank y'all. I don't know. I would blow kisses and roll on the floor or something. I don't know. Hunt the trophy. I don't know what I would do. I would do something. But it's really exciting. And really, I don't know what I would say until I actually kind of did. Like, you always, like, I know what I'm going to say. And then when the time comes for you to say whatever it is that you need to say, you're like, either something totally different comes out. Just like, you know, when you argue with somebody, you're like, when I see him, I'm going to tell him, you owe me money. And then when you see him, you're like, hey, how you doing? So I don't know. Something totally different always comes out. So I don't know. But whatever it is, it's going to be good. I'm going to make you good.
I got you, but look, we have about 30 seconds live left. So before we break the live connect, it's still going to be recorded for everybody listening, so you can log on to the website. We got now the hiphoprway.com. And I want you to shout out your MySpace page where people can hear your comments.
All right, check me out on MySpace, y'all, www.myspace.com/SamsonLive. That's SamsonLive. That sounded cool. Yeah, it's myspace.com/SamsonLive, SamsonLive.
Well, Samson, once again, it was a pleasure talking to you. We look forward to seeing you at the Velocity Magazine Awards. Definitely going to catch you on the red carpet. Kobe, anything you want to say before we head out of here with Samson?
Well, definitely. I mean, it was very nice talking to you. You're definitely a funny guy. I mean, I look forward to seeing you at the Velocity Magazine Awards November 15th.
And I'm presenting an award, too, so you will see me.
Oh, yeah. All right. But basically, I mean, we have your website.
Samson, hope you enjoyed yourself. Hope you had a good time. Hope we weren't too tough on you.
I know y'all weren't, not at all. It's just like the ghetto ones, they the ones that get rich.
Yeah, be funny. That's all you need to do is be funny. 30 minutes, just be funny.
So it's like y'all actually ask me questions, so I got to kind of talk and get into my element. Because I'm not like one of them ones that just take over a broadcast and be like, yeah, so you know the funniest thing about Pete. So it's just like, this is real good.
I got you, I got you. Well, definitely, we enjoy you, and we look forward to seeing you at the Velocity Magazine Awards.
All right, thank you, and I look forward to seeing y'all, too.
All right, have a good one.
All right, you too.
All right, everyone, that was comedian Samson. Make sure y'all hit him up. You can actually log on to wegotnow.hiphopourway.com if you didn't catch his MySpace. It's actually on there, and it's Samson Live, myspace.com/, Samson Live. So before we get off, I have a quick little announcement, then we're going to make our way out of here. I just got off the line with the creator of Velocity Magazine and Velocity Magazine Awards, and he informed me that he would like me, as well as my co-host, to be presenters at the award show. So we will be presenting. I don't know which award yet. We didn't talk over that, but we will be presenting an award at the Velocity Magazine Awards. So it's a pretty big deal.
Oh, wow. So, hopefully, or maybe we'll be presenting the award that Samson might win. And
You never know. You never know. You never know. You never know. He's a real good guy. He seems like a real cool guy. So I'm looking forward to meeting everybody we talked to so far. You know, it's going to be an exciting time. I definitely believe that. So that's it for me. I don't know. Do you have anything else you want to say?
Basically, right now, I mean, it's a Thursday, and we had a fun guest. You know, definitely had me laughing.
Yes, sir.
So, you know, I really don't have too much. I mean, I think it was a pretty good show, right?
Yeah, exactly. Come Monday, we have artist Jay Rose. So y'all be on the lookout for that. We got another exciting week next week. We got chock full of guests. We also have someone from, I didn't want to put it out there yet, but we have someone from Flavor of Love coming on. I'm not going to tell y'all who just yet. So we have some for Flavor of Love, and I think it's gonna be really interesting. So make sure y'all stay tuned. Oh man, I'm losing it. Make sure y'all stay tuned. Make sure y'all keep logging on to the website, because we have some really exciting guests coming up. Not that our guests we have so far haven't been exciting, but it's just getting better and it's getting crazy, and I'm just having a good time, man. All
right.
And I'm done.
Okay, finished. And we will see y'all next week. So
we
got now.
We don't care about next.